Today my theme is to know the will of God, to know the will of God in our life. Many of us wait for prophecies. Many of us wait for the things that we want in our life. Many of us look forward for what God has got our will in our life. And we want to know this will so that we can be perfect in God and we'll walk the track that God has placed in our lives. But walking in the will of God is important. Walking in the will of God is somehow or other God's plan. Whether you say it or you plan it or no, God has got a plan already, ultimate plan for every one of us. But the problem is men do not want to walk in the will of God because man is always disobedient. The disobedient nature is what kills man or not allow man to walk in the will of God. Amen. God's will is sometimes for, what is my God's will for my life? Some of them say, let it be as it is be. So, some of them say, you know, some, que sera, sera. What is the other part of the song? I don't remember. What will be, is that what is our life? What will be our life? I don't think it's that's what our life. Our life is different. Our life is was perfect. Our life is different because we believe in a God who is so big, a God who is so mighty, a God who is so awesome, a God who can do everything in the world. Amen? Amen. So we are looking at a God who is there, thereby looking at a God who is able to give us the wisdom and also to walk in the wisdom of His wisdom. Ephesians 5, Paul addresses very nicely and he says, Ephesians 5, 17 to 19, he says this, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. He tells us one thing, he tells us that the people, he tells us wise people know God's will. Seizes God's opportunity that He gives us and invest the time wisely. Wise people know the will of God, seizes the opportunity, and also invest your time wisely on God's kingdom, God's work, God's will. Foolish people don't know God's will. They miss opportunities. They waste their time like me. I was so foolish for a long time, and God has got to find me one day and bring me back and put me back into track. So God wants people to be wise. So the day when we learn how to be wise is the day we know that the Word of God is wisdom. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, in Timothy, the purpose that He has got for all of us is very simple. You go to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9. Because He has got a purpose, He's got a desire, He's got a thought, and everything else He has got for us. And He tells us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So good news is that God will not just let you down. Whatever you have, your will is, God will not let you down, but God will somehow straighten it. He'll come and modify it. And that's the time of pain. That's the time of reconstruction. That's the time of reconnecting with God, and that's painful sometimes. People cannot stand the pain. They somehow disappear from God, and they get angry with God. It's not about God. It's about us. Amen? It's about us who are not able to do it. And what's wrong with all this? Because God knows what He wants to will for us. But understanding the will is difficult because many of us have got our own mindset. We've got our own thinking. We've got our own culture. We've got our own pattern of life that we have from forefathers passed on to another. We've got a society that decides for us sometimes. We are pushed by society that this is how my will should be like. We should be pushed by things that as a parent, as a father, I always push my son to go and study. But sometimes studying the things that I wanted to study, I wanted him to become a doctor or I wanted him to become an accountant, but he is not mathematically good. He says, I would like to be a musician. For a while, I was shocked. After that, I said, I must accept it. Because he likes to do something that is what he wants to do. Amen?
So the will of God is very important. Unless you know the will of God, we are not going to achieve what we want to achieve from God's will. So many of us are driven by the society, are driven by fear. So many things else we'll fear. We'll find out today what is the approach that we have to use in knowing God's will. God's will is always there for us, but we are the one who always go away from His will. Amen? Now, God's good news is that God wants us to know His will. So what is the will? Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 9. He doesn't want to hide from us. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in the wisdom and spiritual understanding. And John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. Amen. Amen. So His sheep, we are the children of God. If we are the children of God, we will follow Him. Amen? Praise God. Knowing God's will. What is the approach that we want to use in knowing God's will? One way of thinking is, the fantastic view we have is that, let it be as it is to be. The first one. Taking as it is. As it comes, I'll take. As it comes, I will take it and I will handle it. That's how life shall be. Fantastic. This view, actually, as it be, like, you know, when I came, like, kesara, sara, whatever will be, is a view of the world, but if it is your own mind. See, God gave this view, but overemphasizes on your own will, but doesn't give emphasis on the will of God. God's sovereignty should be, also be emphasized, but at the same time, you also must understand you have a mind of your own, you have to make a decision. Amen? You have to make a decision. Without a decision, you can't do anything. You must make decision. In the Garden of Eden, there was this. God said everything else. He also gave the persons, Adam and Eve, a mind to decide. He said, don't go to this tree. But there was a decision. God didn't say, no, I will you not to do it. And He will close their eyes from the tree. No. God's will is that you will live a happy life. And Adam and Eve had a good place there. They had the mind of their own. But they have the choice of their own at a time. The problem is the choosing problem. It's not a problem of whether the will of God is known or not. Will of God, He's already said it to Adam and Eve at a time in Garden of Eden in chapter 1 in Genesis and 2, in 3 you'll find that. Everything is mentioned. He said, this is what I want you to do. You can eat anything else from this place, but don't just go and go to this place. Just don't go to this place. Don't eat of this fruit. That's only one. That's the will of God. Will of God, you should not have this. That's all. You can have the rest all. There's abundance for you to do. But the man who's so curious, he wants to see what is not allowed. His choice was to taste something which was not allowed. His choice was not to look at the things that God has given so much outside there to eat, but he wanted to choose the one which was not allowed. A mind of rebellion. A mind of disobedience. Amen. So if you have that kind of mind, then what will happen is that you will accept anything you want in life. Whatever you have in your life, you will accept it as it is. You will not want to be conformed to the will of God, because you just want to do it as you will. Right? That is taking as it is, because I'm okay with whatever it happens in this life, and I believe the fate of God, God can provide, and that's it. I don't have a choice, but I will choose the things that God forbids. Taking it as it is, everyday life. Second thing you find, you can take the negative part. These are wrong approaches of God's, the will of man. God's will. Wrong approaches to God's will. The negative approach is, some people believe that God is meant to make them miserable. They've got a belief that God wants to make them miserable. Now the things happening around the world, whatever is happening in China, whatever is happening in Japan, and whatever is going to happen for more, all these people look at it as said, why should I believe in a God like this? Why should I love a God who destroys? They take everything negatively. When you have a negative mind, you will not be able to operate in the will of God. Because you don't want to see, your negative mind blocks the will of God, which gives a passage out to everything. The message that God speaks to us, first God speaks to you very silently. I want to revoke back again to see. Remember Elijah. In Kings, 1 Kings, remember Elijah ran away from Jezebel. Alright? He ran away from Jezebel. He had received the letter. By this time tomorrow, your head will be on the platter. He heard that. He took his assistant along. He went and left him in one place and he went down under a broom tree and slept. Right? But how did God answer him? Did he speak to God? Speak to him? God spoke to him. God spoke to him through an angel. Cooked a meal for him. Wake him up. Eat again. Don't worry. Don't sleep. Just eat. Relax. But he ran after that. He went to the same mountain where Moses had the fire, the burning bush. Same mountain. Because he wanted to have the experience of Moses. He went to the same mountain to hope to see the burning bush there. But God came. He spoke to him softly first. God came, spoke to him in lightning. God came, spoke to him in thunder. He didn't hear. At last, God has got to shake a little bit. And then when he comes out a little bit and pulls out, hear a soft voice. Elijah, Elijah. Has Elijah been given so many different forms of warning before? He was given, is that right? The earthquake is the same today. God is sending servants after servants to the countries and they are asking them to know Jesus Christ. You reject. God shakes the world so that you will know that somebody is in control of the entire universe. Amen. Allows this to happen so that God can know, still in control, so that people can draw them, people can come back to him. Tahiti, what happened? The negative attitude they had in their life. Everything was not God. It was about all black magic. You want anything? Black magic every day. God shook Tahiti. Today, Tahiti's change is mighty. People have already changed, including the president. The prime minister is now a Christian today. Glory to God. Why? Because God has got to shake. James was the same. Negative attitude all the time. The worldly attitude. So God shook James. And then he says, now this is the time. After shaking, there's nothing. Then you want to do is turn to God. At least I turned to God. I'm thankful for that. And then God was able to do the things that he wants to. Put his will right in the life. Amen. So people has got negative attitude. I can't be like this. Cannot be like. Cannot be improved. Everything cannot be. God cannot be like this. Cannot have this kind of attitude. God cannot be a person who can actually do all this nonsense to us. No. God has his own way. God has gone way. If I ask you to sometimes to solve a problem, you'll solve a problem your own way. Is that right? If I tell you I've got this problem here, can you solve it? You'll solve it your own way. Because your mind thinks that way. But I will think differently. Another person, Kwan, might think differently. Looking at a problem, he will see it differently. Joyce will see it differently. Sister Catherine will see it differently. Sister Anita will see it differently. John Ming will see it differently. Everyone have got a different angle of a problem. But God sees it from overview. Amen? Amen? So a negative point in anything, you'll never make it to the thing. Will of God has got to be positive in our life. Amen? Positive in our life. The truth will always be in Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you represent your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good is acceptable and perfect will of God. God in every way wants to make sure that your body is perfect. Your personal presentation of yourself is perfect. If you are perfect before God, God know how to deal with you. Right? When you found God, those people who have not found God is different. Those who have found God, God's requirement is you should come before him holy as a sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? There must be something that's painful to you when you want to give up something. You want to do something, it's painful to you. I want to give my time to God. It's painful because I'm the worldly. I've got to go clubbing. I have to go, this thing, that meeting, my sports meeting, this meeting, my gym. Everything. They have got all those, whatever they want to think, whatever they want to do in the world, they have got everything up in their agenda, in their calendar. They don't have anything for God's will. Amen. It's painful. A sacrifice is painful. Jeremiah 29:11 says it very well, clearly. He's got a plan to what? Prosper you. He'll never harm you. He'll never want to harm us. Why would God prepare us, build us in His image, and prepare us like this, and, you know, say, I want to harm you? There were counseling I've done some people who have come. The husband and wife problem, I think I told last week. Husband and wife problem, I've seen people, in a way they abuse the body of the wife. Let alone the wife. You know the children, young ones, cigarette butts. All scars everywhere, beaten up. How do you abuse them? Is that how we do? Because of our own mind. That's not the will of God. Will of God is always positive. He'll never want to harm you. He'd never want to harm you. But man want to harm people. Man always want to harm another person. Amen. The third approach, the wrong approach, is a frustrating approach. How do you frustrate yourself? Some people have become frustrated with God's will because they believe that God has super detailed plans. They want to know everything, the super detailed plans. Like A, B, C, D, everything, right, super detailed plan. They want them to show the blueprint nicely. This day what I do, this one I do, I must do that one, every day I must do. So much so they want to wear a clothing also. They say, God, is this color okay today for me? And the ladies go, Lord, I've got all these lipsticks here. Is which one is the best for me? I'll close my eyes, I'll touch that, you'll lead me to that one. Crazy thoughts people have come, you know. Right? Everyone has got a way of method of, they're asking God to decide even on their clothing on the day. God has got bigger plans for you. God has got a bigger plan. It's not a clothing. The one who's inside the clothing is more important. God's plan, if the heart is not right and the mind is not right, how can He give that blessings to you? It's not about the clothings. God, if I want today, Lord, I want a word today. I want to know a prophecy of how my life should be like. I'll open my Bible. The first verse you give me is all right. Hopefully it's not a Judas case. Right? You all know the Judas case. See, problem is every one of us have got our own way and we see that we want God to do in every details. That is not allowing your choice to be made. Why? The next one. People are fearful of making this fear of approach. The fearful approach, which leads to the next approach, is fearful approach. Why do we have fearful approach? Because they have failed in their life before. They are fearful to make decisions. No, I wore that day a red shirt. And I went in front, I'm supposed to have a boyfriend, and the boyfriend looked at me, red shirt, he went over it. So I'm now as well, another shirt. God, tell me what shirt to wear. Fear of failure. First failure, right? Or you made some hairdo nicely, and the boyfriend, you're supposed to see the first time, he said, I don't like your hairdo, and after that, he didn't come back. Or a girlfriend also same, right? He didn't have a mohawk, is it? Whatever thing, the girl didn't like it, and the guy says, no, failure. Because of failure, they are scared to make decisions now. God's will works together. Fear does not come into God's will. God's will is not fearful will. It's man's failure which gives fear to man. Failure in the course of their life, it's a fearful thing that you don't want to do the next thing. Next time, don't make the same decision because you're fearful of making decisions. You'll fail. But God loves failed people like me. He loves people who are really failed and totally surrender. It's easier than somebody who's willing, they're not failed yet, and they still want to tussle around with God. We don't want to be like Jacob, wrestling with God at the night. End of the day, he has to walk limping like that. Throughout his lifetime, he walked limping. He was on hip bone, was hurt, was removed. Because he wrestled with God. God doesn't like restless. God likes lovers. Amen. Hopelessly in love with person. There's no more hope except for this hope. That is Christ. That is Christ alone. Amen. So that is why the will of God does not function in us, because in fear we have problem in making decisions. Even God gives you a word. Somebody comes by and says, gives a word. And the pastor gives you a word. Or you had a vision or a dream. You don't want to operate. Because you know why? The fear of failure. Amen. Fear of failure is not an approach we should have. The fifth one, mystical approach. People have got mythical approach, like I told you just now, people have got sometimes, no, I will see whether rain comes this today, then only I will go out. If rain answers today, I have a problem, I have got this thing. So Lord, if you say the rain comes and all right, it's okay, then I will go. Or they have to make a decision. No, I want to study in this university. I have a problem to choose this university. I have a problem. What do you do? The father says, the mother says, no, God, my child is going to go to the university. Whichever the university I go, the first person says, good morning, I will give them my child to that university. And the child goes, said, whichever the school I go, I see some nice kids there who have got, they can jam around and go right. See, there's a conflict between two persons. The child who is supposed to be in that university has got a different mind. The parents got a different mind. The myth they believe in. They have already believed in a myth before they even decide. They have already presented a package for themselves. They want a present, but the present, they have already decided how the present, the wrapper should be like, what color it should be, what ribbon should be tied, what color is the ribbon, what is the kind of pattern tying, which kind of flower, is it bunga raya or rose or whatever it is, you already decided. And you decided what kind of card to put on the top. How can you have, this is all a mythology. You start thinking myths that before you even go out to get what your will of God is. Amen. There should be peace. We'll cover that afterwards. When there is will of God, there is always peace and love. Amen? Praise God. Now, what is the guiding principles in how knowing the will of God? Number one guiding principle. The person we guiding means navigate. God will navigate you to His will. God is not a God who will leave you like that on a roadside. God will navigate you. In other words, He will steer you as a captain. Steer you. Navigate you to the will of His. Number one, the first one all of you know is what? The Word of God. The will of God, the Bible, the Word of God contains the will of God, the promises of God. If I have a prophecy is released out to you, if it is not from the will of God, from the Word of God, then it's not from God. Hello? If the prophecy is out from somebody, it must be from the Word of God. Based on the basis of Word of God, then only you can, the prophecies can come to God. Will of God is based on the Word of God. Jeremiah spoke a word. He said that is used by us, all of us today. All throughout our lifetime, it's being used. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 was used at a time when they found that the entire Israel was going, Jerusalem was going through a time of problems. When the Babylonians had captured them, he was in darkness. The entire people were really like they were robbed out from there, brought out, and people were burnt, and you know, places were burnt, and everything was ruined. But in that hopelessness, God gave one word, that word we are using till today. Jeremiah 29:11. We are using it for today's life. But it was meant for those Jews at the time. I don't want to harm you. I don't have a plan to harm you. I want to prosper you, Israel. Look at me, he says. Look at me, I want to prosper you. A day will come, I'll prosper you. A day will come, I'll give you a hope. There is hope in this, all these disasters. Whatever is destruction is going to go on now, is going on now in Babylon. Babylonians have now taken over Israel. They have left nothing behind. And this little Jeremiah, the prophet, sits in a jail and he says, there is still hope. There is still hope. A God of hope. A God who says His will be done. A God who says, I have a will for Israel. Same thing with us today. God has got a will for you. It's all contained in the Bible, the Word of God. If we go by the Word of God and confess the Word of God, and the will of God will come to pass in our life. Whatever occupation you are in, whatever job you are in, whatever business you are doing, whether you're a student, whether you're a child, whether you're an old person, everyone has got a word in the Word of God. Amen? The word of God is the first, is the benchmark for every one of us. Every prophecy. So word of God is the number one thing. It, the will of God. To find out your will, you must find out the word of God. Amen. Many of us want to know the will of God, but we don't want to seek the word of God. Because the word of God becomes so difficult, a dull for our mind. Word of God should not be dull for our mind. Word of God should be alive for our mind. Nothing he calls, God calls, will contradict the word of God. Nothing will ever be opposite of what he says. His word is a light to our path. Psalm 119 verse 105. God gives enough light to see the next step. The problem is all of us want to know the entire step to write. God will give you enough light to see the next step. Why did the psalmist use this psalm and he said that God will see another step? Because the light they used to have actually originally was on their shoes. So when they look, they only look at the step. They don't look 10 steps ahead. So God will give you enough light for us to see the path. When you go to the right path, then God will give the next right path. Then we go to the next right path, God will give you the next right path. It's step by step, God will take you to the will of His through the word of God. Step by step. Amen. The problem with man is, the Chinese says, so much a kanchonga. They cannot keep quiet. Yeah, why? Curiosity. What will happen to me 10 years from now? What will happen to me if I go to the university? What will happen to me if I do this? What will happen to me when I go to this way? The problem is, your what? Curiosity kills the plan of God. The will of God. Word of God says, I give you enough path, enough light to see it. And God will always line you up. His lights are lining up, you know. Every light, like, you know, lampstand, you know, lamppost. One lamppost gives you enough light for that area. When you go to the next lamppost, enough light for that area. You're never without a light. So like a lamppost, the word of God is like a lamppost or a modern language. The lamppost will show you. The light will shine wherever you go. And that's the right path. Amen? It'll be lined up for us. So we don't have to see where is it going to come. Sometimes in the darkness when we drive in the car, you'll see the lamppost going. The lamppost is going up somewhere. We see the light. But we do not know where the place is. Unless we come to the place, we know where the place is. Amen? Can you just imagine you are lost in a city? You have not been to the city at all. You've never been to this part of the town. And the whole town has got lights. And you don't know where to go. When you come to the place, you know, oh, this is this place. This is this place. Just like that, our life is guided by the word of God. He'll give you enough light. God also says that, you know, he grants success. God grants success in life to those who meditate upon and obey his commands and principles of life. Josiah chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. God's word contains principle for every area of our life. Not one area, every area of our life. Whether it be business. Today you've got a Maxwell Bible. Maxwell Bible was developed by a man who was able to see the inside of the business attributes and leadership of the Bible. There's another Bible called Spirit-filled Bible. Spirit-filled Bible is a Bible which the person who looked at the spiritual realm of the Bible, he wrote the Spirit-filled Bible. He actually commented on the Bible, on the Spirit-filled Bible. Right? Some of you might have got devotions for parents. And they've got for men and for women. You go to the bookshop, you'll find man's Bible, women's Bible, husband's Bible, wife's Bible. Why? They saw the inside of the word which actually gives life for a husband or a wife, for a woman or for a man. Amen? You must search. You will search, you will find the word for every person. If you don't search, you don't get the word. Amen? The problem is most of us don't want to search the word. Many of us start our life without reading the manual, the Bible, right? Because Sometimes when you're young, when we are in Sunday school, it's important for the children to go to Sunday school to actually make this Bible verses more animated so that they can understand it easier. You know why? Because you must start life with this manual. This is the life manual. We miss it. People like me, I did not read the Bible when I started my life. I read so many different books, but never read this book. Positive confessional, mental attitude, all those things you have got in the market, you buy. Law of success, think and grow rich, you can name it, you can get it. But this one never came to my mind. Because I thought it's always holy. This you cannot find. But most of the books you have got outside there, all of them came from here. Some of them took out from here and started expanding and giving you Bible methodologies, becoming gurus for management and so on. It comes from the Word of God. Amen? Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So knowledge from the Bible is very important. Knowledge from the Bible is very important. Make your regular habit of reading the Word of God, listening even to being taught in the wherever you go to church, or even in when you are in some seminar, listen to it. Something God will speak to you one day. One time, at least one or two verse sentence you understand, and God will give you the way to your life. Amen? Praise God. 1 Peter 4 verse 11 says this. If everyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles of God, the Word of God. Okay? Let anyone speak, must speak from the oracles of the Word of God. Amen. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also affects. Effectively works in you who believe. Believe in you. You must believe the Word of God. Those who read the Word of God must believe the Word of God. That is true, the Word of God. Amen? Second thing, why we get the... God wants us to use certain wisdom in our life. Second thing is wisdom in our life. Word of God and wisdom. See, sometimes we know the Word of God. We know the knowledge of the Word of God. But we don't have the wisdom to understand the Word of God. Because they lack wisdom, that is why the Word of God does not become part of their life and they do not find their life, God's will in their life. If you read a passage and you see, this has nothing got to do with me. But if you have got wisdom, you'll gather the things which God is speaking to you. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 22 onwards you'll find, wisdom was there before even the whole chapter of chapter 8 is about wisdom. And verse 21 or 22 onwards, it says that before even the foundation of the earth, wisdom was already there with God. Amen? Wisdom was already with God. Wisdom dwelt. You see, when Solomon wrote this, he says, wisdom was already part of God. Unless you ask the wisdom from God, that wisdom you have, then you will be able to interpret the knowledge that you have from the Word of God. So unless and until you have the Word of God, the knowledge of God, knowledge of the Word of God, know the will, and then after I have the wisdom to extract the will of God in your life. For one person could be different, for another person could be different. For me it could be different, for you it could be different. Every one of us has got our own words in this Bible. You have the knowledge, but you need the wisdom. And that is why in Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Wisdom is the principle, the main thing. If you know the knowledge of God, yes, Pastor, I read the Bible 3 times already. I don't find anything for me there. I hear stories only, all the stories. How this person did that, how this king died, and how these fellows were, how nations were won, how Jesus Christ taught. But I don't find anything for me in my life. Because you lack wisdom. Wisdom is important. Ask God for wisdom. Solomon was very smart. He was probably smart. When God asked him, the angel of God asked him, God is giving you one. What is the best thing you want in your life? Give you 3 things. He said, I only want wisdom. God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you the rest. Solomon did not ask for anything else. So an authority of wisdom is Solomon. Solomon's wealth and everything else came from wisdom. If he did not ask for wisdom, he will not have anything else. Amen. If you ask for wealth, he will not have wisdom. Because the wealth would have gone, he doesn't know how to apply the wealth to the day. So many people I know of, there are many men and women you know of also, people who have got built the empire of business, so wealthy, and the son or a child takes over, the wealth reduces. Right? I can bet you on this. I'm sure I know about this. Even now, the richest man in the world, what's his name, huh? He's not Bill any longer. Mexican. Bill is number two. Even that guy, if he hands over his wealth to somebody for second generation, I think it'll go away. Do you know why? This man knew how to make it. The other people didn't know how to make it. They didn't have the wisdom. They know how to spend. Is that right? So many of them I've seen, first generation, second generation, third generation, there is no longer. There are people out there without wealth because of this wisdom. Wisdom is needed. Without wisdom, you lose everything else. Wisdom is the most important thing that can extract the word of God, can extract the knowledge of God, can extract to know what is the will of God in my life. Wisdom is needed in our life. Amen? God wants to help us to develop wisdom in our lives. To apply for the knowledge we have, it's a proper application for knowledge and understanding. Sometimes God gives us the brain, but sometimes we don't think sometimes. How many of us think it's wisdom? No, sometimes we react by an occasion. I'm a pastor here. Few days ago, on last Friday, I cancelled a prayer meeting in Brother Wai Chong's office. I was tired. I decided to go up there to my office room and sleep for a while. Lord, I'm going to rest for a while, and after I'll get up and do the things I have to do. I have to prepare the messages and the teachings on Monday. I found my aircon was not working. It was on, blowing, but hot air. I got up from the sleep. I heard a noise. I came out. Instead of asking Jesus Christ to help me, I shouted at one man. You know why? He went upstairs up to the top of the rooftop. He cut our air-conditioned extra outside unit. He was carrying it down. So what I should have done is, I should have said, freeze in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, tungu. He didn't tungu. He just ran off already. See the wisdom? Even pastor sometimes doesn't use brains. He didn't use a spiritual wealth the time I had, but I used the natural brain. Do you see what I'm saying? So the guy left. So today we have to spend another 1,000 over ringgit for just restore it back again. Although we didn't lose anything. Second time, the guys attacked this church. We didn't lose, but we lost. We have to repair the door. We have to repair the air conditioning upstairs. Reinstall it back. But why wisdom is important for us? Wisdom. Right? Wisdom is important. So as I said, when I had the wisdom, I should have used my wisdom to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to freeze, which I've done for other deliverance. But this deliverance, I let go already. This was the actual deliverance, you know. Right? Really in action. So if I were to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to freeze, he would have frozen. I know that he'll frozen. And I command you, spirit of robbery, thief, get out. Sure, he's going out. I have faith in that. But I didn't use it. The wisdom was not there. Amen? It's a life experience for you all. So proper usage of wisdom is important in our knowledge of word of God. Somebody will give you a word of God. A prophet comes and gives you a word of God. And you might be thinking, this is how it works. A prophet gave me a word sometimes back about a serpent or a python, he said. I was thinking my head off, what this python got to do with me? Why a python? So I went research and all this, nothing came to mind. Only about a week ago, this was 1.5 years ago, the word was given to me. Only about a week and a half ago, God told me that was not from me. You see, the wisdom was served to go and ask God, can you confirm with me whether this is the right word for me? And a week ago, about a week and a half ago, God says, that did not come from me. So you see, sometimes I did not check the word of God. Even James says something, you must not take it. Check the word of God. Amen? So you must know, unless you have wisdom, you can do all. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, look, where you ask for wisdom from God. He says, the first thing that you must ask for wisdom, God. You're lacking wisdom, ask wisdom every day. James 1 5 is very important for me in my life. Every morning, God, I ask for wisdom, Lord, in the things I do. And yet, I miss that robber. One more salvation, gone. Amen? I miss the robber. Wisdom is important in our life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Chapter 19, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 18. Every decision needed must be carefully planned. Wisdom is needed. Amen? You see, sometimes Jesus himself says, no, before you do something, you always plan. Before you build something, in Luke chapter 8, if I'm mistaken, chapter 14, sorry, verse 28 to 32, Jesus advises, if a man were to build something, he has got a plan, sit down and plan a city. Is that right? A king wants to go for war, he has got a plan. What is the, assess the other side, how strong they are, and what is your strength? He must plan. So in wisdom, in anything that God gives you in your life, the will of God, you have to actually know the will of God. To know the will of God, you do some research. The wisdom, prayer is important. Amen? Praise God. If I would have asked 1.5 years ago when the word was released to me, and I would have known it is not from God. Amen? Sometimes circumstances, God speaks through circumstances. What are the circumstances? Present, you talk about this shaking of the earth. Is that a will of God? Will of God is for the people to draw to God. So God shakes so that they will be drawn. But they are still looking for outside. I remember we went to Solo. The man who died, you would have read in the papers, the man who sat down there and believed that the God of that volcano will help him, he knelt down and started praying, and the volcano lava ate him up. He died kneeling down, praying in the posture of a Muslim praying. Because he was hoping that the volcano's spirit will be pacified by he praying. Sometimes we don't understand. Don't use those kind of things. There is one passage in a Bible you'll find in Judges. In Judges you'll find one place where he was using, Gideon was using. Gideon used one circumstance to know whether the will of God, whether God will decide to give him victory. Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to 14. He used fleas. Remember? He used fleas. God, if you think that, you know, if you are going to say that I am going to get the Israel, I'm going to win for Israel, I'll be able to win for Israel, I'll be able to win the war for Israel, you give me an sign. He used fleas. He said, if this war, fleas here, which I live here outside here, it is dry now. If there is dew in it and wet, and the ground outside around it will be all wet, dry, that means say you are saying, I can win. Some of us don't have faith. Sometimes we want to test God, like Gideon did. Right? After God gave him, there was so much of water from that. He says, now, sorry God, don't be angry with me. I want to ask you once more time. Now this one was wet, the fleece was wet. Can you make it drier? The fleece must be dry and the dew must be around the fleece. See the mind of, he was able to, somehow or other God wanted to use him. So God was patient with him. Right? God was patient with him and allowed second time when he prayed and he went back the next day morning, he saw the fleece was dry and the around surrounding of that area was all wet. Circumstances will come in our life. That will show us indication. For me, today, the circumstances which is going around the world of shaking makes me closer to God. To know the will of God. God, what have I got to do? What have I got to do with this? Lord, I offer my life, just now you said. And after that, my life, my past life already offered to you already. All my what I've done, things that I've done, everything is already given. All those broken things. And after that, what is the verse says? The days before me, the days, not years, the days before me I offer to you. Is that right? It's not years. Lord, the years before me I'll give it. The days before you I'll give it to you. Amen. So we must understand that circumstances that God give us today, situation, God is shaking something. If God is speaking in your family, if there is something happening in your family, take heed. Quickly ask God, what's happening here, Lord? Tell me. I don't have to wait for something else. We're not like Gideon, testing out. We can't test, but ask God to give us the wisdom, give us that situation, whatever circumstances comes in our way, that God can use us mightily. Amen? Praise God. The fourth thing that about how to really see whether there is will of God, the inner spirit in you. Amen. The inner witness of you is what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God has sent the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So if we are sons of God, we must be led by the Spirit of God. So if you know the Spirit of God will know your will, God's will for you. Then you will be able to merge together with whatever what you read in the Word of God and the wisdom you have. Now the Spirit of God will lead you to that same place. I'll give you an example. Sometimes in our life, you'll find that you're not very sure of doing things. Right? And you said, God says that God will use you. In my life, the same thing. God spoke to me that he'll use me. I thought it was in the corporate world where I was. I started having services in Philippines and also wherever I worked in the US, I had services. In other words, I will go down there, we'll have a fellowship, and then we'll have breaking of bread. But I thought that was mine. Because people were able to come. But none of them were converted. None of them accepted Christ. But when God came back here, and God, I said, Lord, I want to go back to Korea or somewhere else. So Lord, show me that way. God closed the door. I was qualified for this Korea job. But God closed the door for me. But he said, I don't want you to. He gave an incident of a dream to Pastor Hildegard. That I should serve as a pastor. I didn't want to become a pastor. But she had an incident. I said to God, if that is the case, you must speak to me also. I didn't get any word. After fasting for 3 days, 21 days passed by, nothing. After 1 month later, God spoke softly. The incident God gave me during these 2 months of trial was I was dry and drained out. I had no money in my pocket. I have to supply every month. But somehow or other, somebody up there, God knew something, and he sent an envelope for the past 2 months from somebody outside of the church to say, go and give to a man in your church by the name of James. So God showed an incident saying that I will provide for you. Just hear my word. That made me change my heart. If you can provide, you know my deeds, you really mean this, my calling. You spoke to me, yes. But you know, you also provide. Amen? You might have an incident in your life. God will use an incident. You probably prayed and said, Lord, I know this word is given to me. I need you to give me a confirmation. God will give you confirmation. Amen? Inner witness is important because the Spirit of God will lead you to that witness. I know one person. It came out in a Beacon magazine. I think some of you all know the person. Or most of you know the person. This person was prophesied to marry a person, certain person. And the time came, proposal came. The person went back. This lady went back into God and says, is it sure this is the right man? Prophecy after prophecy. People saw vision. She didn't accept it. Said, God, you must speak to me first. The inner witness you must give me. So she said, I will read the Bible and fast for 3 days, as Pastor James said. She fasted for 3 days. She read the Bible. The last day of her prayer over finished, the next day morning, her devotion time, she continued with the Bible. The last part of Judges was the name of the husband. The first part of Samuel was the name of the woman. So she said, God, you spoke to me today because the Spirit of God will guide you to where you want to go. Amen? The Spirit of God is the inner testimony for you. The will of God is being performed. And there will be always be joy in you. The joy that comes into your heart will be great. Right? And there will be no more anxiety in your heart of whether this is the right way or this is the right plan. Or this is the right plan of God. This is the will of God. There will be no more anxiety in your heart. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 to 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that peace will come into our heart. When the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit comes, that peace will come. Amen? There are sometimes supernatural ways God can speak to you. The fifth one is supernatural ways God speaks to you. God sometimes uses supernatural revelation to guide you. Could be dreams, could be visions. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 21. It could be angelic visitation. Remember Peter in chapter 4, when he was in jail, angel visited him. Is that right? Angel visited him, tapped him and said, get up. He said, am I still okay? Touching the flesh, am I awake or am I in a dream? Gird yourself up. Put on your dress. Come, follow me. And the doors were open all the way out. Angel visitation comes to your house. Amen? God will divinely give you a dream, supernaturally, and give you in details what you should do. Have you had an encounter like that? In details, God will give you everything. Like you're going to do from plan, when you open the door like this, everything He'll give it to you. He might even give you a way to speak to the person you're going for an interview. God will give you that. Because God is a God. He wants to have His purpose, His will be done in your life. When God pulls you back to put His will, God will definitely do His will. Amen? God sometimes, that prophecies, audible voice through prophecies. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 6, verse 3, sorry. You can go back and see. God uses prophets to speak His people and reveal to His people and reveal His heart. We should not take prophecies lightly, you know. Test the prophecy by the word of God. Amen? You must test it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19 to 24 says, test the prophecy. And like this sister who went and asked God, confirmation after confirmation, test it. The prophecy was given, but she wanted to test it. Sometimes we can be, the prophetic word helps us in our life because it can help us to motivate our life to go on further. To motivate us so that we can be still on track with God's plan. Sometimes you can have dry season. The dry season is for just for a moment, but the motivation of the word of God carries you on. Why God gives you a prophecy? Because that during the dry season, you know there is a focus. God will definitely give you this and you'll go on. When Jeremiah 29:11 was given, it was a time of dryness. It was a time of deadness. There was nothing alive there. In that time, God gave a hope. And in that hope, till today, the Israelites live. God gave that word to Jeremiah. In that hope, till today, the Israelites live. Amen? Praise God. Prophetic words given even by Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 12. 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. These are prophecies given by Paul to the people at the time. You can check it out. In God's time, He will bring His will be done in your life. Amen? In God's time, His will be done in our life. His will be actually made perfect in our life. Amen? So we must see, number one, obedient. Obedience is important. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the things that God speaks to us is the most important thing to understand the will of God. If every word God gives you and you rebel against it, your purpose does not come. You're going to strive in your flesh, strive in your bones, strive in your mind, strive in your emotions, and you will never see the things come true because your will start working and God's will not work in your heart. Amen? God's will has to work in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, it's not about knowing a prophecy or something that God gives you. God has given to you so many words I can give you about all these prophecies and, and the word that God speaks to you, a journey that God takes you through the life, He will definitely give you everything in the life if you believe in Him. If you believe in Him. If you believe that He is in control of your life. If you believe the right thing I have to do. Sometimes we become sluggards, like in Proverbs He says. Sluggards, look at the ants. You don't work. Because sometimes some of us says, I've heard the prophecy, I will sit down at home and still have stayed down at home. I know one person who is sitting down at home for the past 5 or 6 years because somebody gave a prophecy, it's going to come. And that's really damaging to the family. Because you know why? There's no resources for the family. No work. Right? And it's a bad testimony for the non-believers. It's a bad testimony for the non-believers. If the parents or the siblings in the house is a non-believer, it's a bad testimony. God will never lead you to that kind of situation. God will never lead you because God is a God, is an ongoing God. It's a continuous present tense. He will build you from where you are. He'll remove you from there and place you somewhere else. He will not let you idle. Many people, what they do is that they listen to the word of God, they stand idle. I've got one person, I remember 4 years ago, something like a prophecy came to a person that you will meet the right person. You don't do work, you don't mix around with people. She expects the person to come knock the door. I'm your husband. I told her last time she came here, I said, very silly of you. It's really silliness. You must mix around with people. You go where you are. As you move, God will bring the right person and pass across your path. This time you don't open your eyes and see, He will pass by and go to another one. You sit down at home and waiting for somebody to come and knock the door. That really makes real belief. The faith level must be high that He can move a mountain. Ask this mountain to go out from here to the sea. That's what Jesus says. That kind of faith He must have. The faith is so little, and you want to sit down at home, it doesn't work that way. Amen? And God will never leave you like that. That's a wrong attitude and a wrong perception of the prophecy given to the person. Will of God is there for them, but they're not taking it the right time. Amen? Why sometimes you don't get it? There are sometimes years given, days given sometimes, dates are given to some people. God gives, okay, suddenly God speaks to somebody and says, oh, this time, this month, you'll be alright like this. And why does it not happen? Because your faith, you're not walking in the way, but you're walking away from God. If you walk in the ways God wants you to do, God will definitely fulfill His will. His word will come to pass. When we go away, it takes time to come back. By the time you come back, it passes 2 more years, or 3 more years, or 4 more years, then your word has not come to pass yet. And you get angry with the prophet, you get angry with the God. For no reason. Knowing the will of God and walking the will of God. I do run a class. It's a six module class. We are doing on the Sunday afternoons. And I have this module which is really knowing the will of God. Going to detail to know your will of God in your life, personal life. So now at present we are going through walking a new life. Right? The next one will be, I think next two words will be the will of God. If you have time, when the class comes, come and listen to the class. Come and participate in the class. It's not listening. To know the will of God, you must participate in the word of God. A word of God comes up, and you must participate. And what God reveals to you at that time, you write it down. Amen? That's what we do on Sunday afternoons. I'm running a new believers class. One of those things is knowing the will of God and walking in the will of God. I'll pour out about my life. I don't want to talk about somebody else's life. About my life, where God has given somewhere in my life. He's corrected me and bought me. Without shame, I'll tell you. So that you can be corrected. You can know the way God has got in your life. And the words will be just nice for you to come up. It'll be so accurate for you. It comes up. And you decide for yourself. And you write yourself. There's more detail. Amen? Praise God. Let's rise. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. Father, we want to thank you that, Lord, you've given us the will of Father. Your will always be perfect. Your will in our life, Lord, is perfect, Father. Your will, the Father, even for Adam and Eve to live a life, Father, which is long, long life, Lord, with joy and love and peace, Father. But, Lord, because of the curiosity, They killed that, Lord. And I pray, Father, today, you have a will for us, Lord, knowing you. We know you now, Father God. A God who knows everything. A God who is in control of everything. God, we want to walk your will, Father. So that we'll know your will and walk in your will. Lord, guide us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Lord, we pray that we'll know the word of God and we'll meditate upon the word of God. Lord, we pray that today, Lord, we'll understand the word of God through the wisdom of, so that we can apply what we understand through the wisdom. Lord, we will use the Father occasion, situations, Lord, which will speak to us, Lord. We'll speak to us, the Father, through prophecies. Above all, your Holy Spirit will be a testimony for us that the will of yours shall come to pass in our life. And your Holy Spirit will lead us into your will. We totally surrender to you, Lord, today, that we will walk the will of yours, and our life, Lord, will be used by you for the perfection of you, for what you purpose in our life will come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.